Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E.
Oh, look at you!
All right, honey, buddy, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Gary Hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it.
Good morning, Diana. How are you doing?
Good morning, Ellen. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good, too. So tell us a little bit about Achievement by Possession.
Well, in Achievement by Possession, it follows the story of a small-town girl who's engaged to be married, who runs a business of homemade crafts, candles, flower arrangements, that sort of thing. And she thinks all of her dreams are about to come true until her fiancé is possessed through the pages of a book. So now she has to try to survive that because he has his eye on her to not be his wife anymore, but be his sacrifice.
Wow. Yep. So, I mean, how does she not know that he was possessed, or did she find out before they get married or after they get married?
Well, that would include sharing some spoilers. But it is a gradual position. Things just don't look right. He's not acting the same anymore. Kind of a little hint, but at the same time, moves that he makes that looks really romantic are really just kind of demonic desperation, as I like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So, she doesn't know that he's slowly becoming possessed and that the true possession doesn't take hold until he embraces it. And of course she has to do something to make him embrace that. So that's how that works out.
Okay.
Trying not to give a lot away.
Yeah. Cool. And again, this is Miss Diana Brock and her book Achievement by Possession. You can find it. It's on sale at Amazon as well as in the Capture store, mvpondemand.com, and hit the Capture store link. And now, without further ado, the number one radio personality, Brian the Hammer Jack.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Hammer 96.7 BT Radio with a very special good morning, number one co-host, Ellen J. There. Our ratings are soaring. You know, as I lower my IQ, the ratings get higher. We have
As you dumb down, the ratings go up.
It does. I reach more people who understand me. I'm reaching... All right, we got great ratings. I want to thank the Autism Foundation for listening and correcting me. Thank you.
Wow.
We're off to a good start. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are worldwide. The world is listening to us, and we are talking to them. And thank you for joining us on this, get this word, epic-demic show. How's that? See what I did there? Epidemic. See what I did? Yeah. Thank you, Diane. Oh,
so clever.
Thank you. I was listening to this audiobook, and Diana, you are amazing.
Thank you.
I'm giving you 5+5+5 stars. Well done. Well narrated. Edge of my seat. I didn't even want to leave. You know, I'm going to tell you something. This has to be a disclaimer. If you listen to Diana's book, you better wear a diaper because you're not going, you don't want to even get up to go to the bathroom. You just want to just do the poo there and don't miss a thing. It's a really great book. Oh, yeah. It's a 2-ply book, baby.
Like
2-ply.
You realize, like, this is the studio, right? You realize our guest is in the studio, right?
No, I don't. But thank you for telling me I'm the aftermath. But I'm just saying, it's a 2-ply book. It's a really, really great job. Well done, Diana. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. And thank you for the gift, because I got to read it. And I'm going to tip you, because we have a thing called tipsters. So we have... If we have some time, we're going to say it. I'm looking at the time, and I see the time. Don't worry, we're not going to do it. I want to hold the time, and I want to say hello to our special... Oh, she's not here. I want to say hello to Ta-Ta-Ta. I'm going to open it up really early. Ta-Ta-Ta, good morning, sweetheart. We have a very short time, but good morning. How are you?
Good.
You sound good. Good morning. What's the Chinese word for today?
Let me think.
Okay.
不知道 means I don't know.
Oh, okay. I like that. I could use that a lot. Thank you. Thank you. And we have a very special guest, Daniel Payton. Man, I'm interested in this book. I love it. I'm into sci-fi. So I love a lot of things. And we have a double hitter today, so I'll be talking really fast with Charisse Kerhery-Cock. We got one message really quick.
Thank
either
you
listening.
So much for dropping
I'll solve this.
Your line. I must
and
not have gotten
we have
to
a
my
great
phone
show today.
On time. It's either that
Dragon
or I
Mars.
Didn't hear it read.
That was hot.
So please leave
like
me
it.
A message when you hear
just
one question.
Because they're listening right now. They're ready to get ready to go to work. We keep
Ding.
Everybody anonymous. You know, thank you. Ding. We'll keep you anonymous because we don't want morons to attack you on Facebook. And you can get your questions to me at 96.7 Hammer on Facebook. Hey, Brian, what's up? We're going to keep his name anonymous. Hey, what's going on, Mario? So, hey, Hammer. Well, I keep Mario anonymous, Alan. Be discreet. Hey, Brian. You used to have a relationship show. I have a problem. Just found out my girlfriend is cheating on me on social media. I'm heartbroken. What should I do? I just found out that she is sending out nude pictures of herself. I am heartbroken, and I really need some advice. What can you say to me? He's going to work right now. Well, the first thing you need to do, Mario, if she's sending her pictures out on the Internet, I want you to have my email. It's hammeraod@gmail.com. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Why does he need your email?
I got to check out the evidence.
Okay.
Check out the evidence. I mean, why is everybody else getting pictures and I'm not? He's not writing them. I think it's rude.
Oh, my God.
If your girlfriend's all over the Internet and she's sending pictures, nude pictures of herself, well, if she's hot, that's publicity, baby. If she's not, deny that you're even together. Thank you, and I hope you have a great day. You'll get over it, buddy. Pain makes you stronger, and when you get stronger, you'll make wiser choices. Until then, enjoy the ride, and it's not about you. It's about her, and this kind of girl is not meant for you. Then you know what? It's time for you to move on, because why even get sad over somebody who's not right for you? And again, my email is hammerald@gmail.com. We'll get to the bottom of that, won't we, Ellen? All right, okay, our special guest is here.
You know what? You get in your emails. So I screen everything you get in your emails, so you ain't going to be seeing those pictures.
You know what? I'll change my email after the show. I'll put a footnote on this one. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, the great Daniel Payton, everybody. He's in the studio. Here he is. And here we go with the interview. As Ellen read, you know, it's a legacy of Dragonmon. It's a YA fantasy, a young adult. I like his lead character, Marcus. He's on a journey to find the last Dragonmon and to save the wizards of Galanor.
Mm-hmm.
Or an alliation. Welcome to the show, my friend. Daniel, I'm reading about your book. Well, I guess it's a synopsis or what's going on in your book. Tell me about it. Tell me about your book, sir.
Well, Legacy of Dragon Wand, as you said, was a young adult fantasy book. It's set in the land of Galanor. You got that correct. It's an adventure fantasy for anybody who loves, you know, anything from Harry Potter to Lord of the Rings. And it's the story of Marcus, who is turning 16. And in the land of Galanor, when you turn 16, you get to choose where you apprentice, where you go to school. And he has magical abilities, so he wants to go learn how to use them. But to get to the college, you have to have the letter of recommendation from a wizard. And he can't seem to find one until he finds Tolan, but Tolan is dying. And Tolan's last request to him is to find the dragon. And Marcus has no idea what's going on or why, but the moment he gets this request, the Royal Guard are on him, and he learns that all the other wizards outside of his little protected valley are imprisoned and will eventually be executed for no apparent reason except that they are claimed to be dangerous. And so he has to find the dragon wand to upset what's going on in the kingdom. And he has the royal guard after him. He has a contingent of lizard people called Shallan that have been hired to catch him. I mean, it's the really on the adventure. And the path he takes leads him to find another wizard his age who's hiding her abilities because she knows of the imprisonment, but her parents were both taken to the labyrinth and to where all the other wizards are. So her goal is not just to stop the evil king, but to actually save her parents. So Marcus learns a real hard lesson that it isn't all about him, it's about other people. And that's part of the impact of the story, is his growth is not just in power and knowledge, but in understanding the world. And that's the path of the story. And so far, Dragon Ball, the book series, has actually reached best-selling status 6 times on Amazon.
Wow. I'm very impressed. I love your story. Marcus, when you created this character, Marcus, what kind of characteristics you wanted your hero to have during his journey, and so people could get more involved in Marcus and root for Marcus?
Well, I wanted him to... I wanted to have a little too much confidence at the beginning. I wanted him to feel that he's, you know, he already has some magical talent. He's in his life, he's actually had strange dreams that have taught him a little about his magic. And so he gets way too much confidence to begin with. This journey takes a stab at that. So the journey itself, the story, as I said, it's kind of his growth, but it's his maturity. You know, and I see a lot of, and I'm not downplaying anybody else's work. I think it's great, but there are a lot of young adults from movies to fiction that start with the characters who are, they're not confident. They're ready to grow right from the beginning. I'm like, you know, I've worked with a lot of kids. I know there's an edge of confidence that you have when you're too naive, too young. And I wanted him to have that. That's one of his first key elements. But he confidence is also naive. And he grows and he learns, and that's Marcus is he's overcoming himself.
I like how you have it. Do you find it's important to have some kind of moral lesson? And even in sci-fi or any book that someone writes, there has to be some kind of lesson learned. Or do you feel not so much the lesson, let the story take its course?
Truly, I do like to let a story take its course. I write definitely on a moral level. So, yeah, there's going to be moral lessons in there. But I know that my characters, I'll try. I'm not claiming genius here. Just I try to have my characters have human foibles, have human flaws, even when they're not human. You know, but they have that, what we all have. And so I want to show a rear of these people either overcoming them or at least facing these flaws. That it becomes a moral lesson to the reader, I don't know. But the point of the story is that, to me, makes the character relatable and human, or just relatable. So having a character who has all the right answers from start to finish of a story is not relatable. But one who learns from their mistakes is. And hopefully, if you take away from that how to learn from your mistakes, great. I'm glad you did. But to me, it just enhances a character's quality in the reader's eyes.
I agree with you. You need to identify with your characters. And you can get more and more involved in the characters, root for the characters, feel for the characters. Tell me about the protagonists in this story, or is there one?
Oh, yes, there's definitely one. The protagonist of the story is actually the chief wizard, the wizard advisor to the throne. His name is Halland, and he is not who he seems to be. He has taken on many different forms over the past 1,000 years as he has been seeking the last dragon wand. And in the story, he and Tolan both finished the dragon war 1,000 years ago. However, Halland has one thing holding him back. His power has been curtailed by what Tolan did in the last battle. Unfortunately, it just put everything on hold. Tolan no longer has all of his power, neither does Halland. So Helen has to end the war by finding that dragon wand. And so he's convinced the kingdom to imprison all the wizards. He's convinced the king that he can give him immortality if he does whatever he tells him to do. He's a very manipulative, conniving person and has spent 1,000 years infiltrating courts and rulers trying to get what he wants. And he's right on the cusp of it. That's where the story starts, is where he's right on the cusp of what he has been seeking for so long.
Well, that is fantastic. Is this one of the trilogy? Where did this book lie in the trilogy?
Well, the book here, the first one, is the first one.
It's the first one, okay.
Yeah. I tend to like to promote just the first, people go from there.
Okay, sounds good. Now, are you a gamer, Daniel? Do you play online? And if you are a gamer, what's your favorite game?
Oh, well, I wish I could be more of a gamer. I write so darn much. But, yeah, I play things like Skyrim and Final Fantasy and all that. I have board game groups that I get together and we play board games. I don't play too much online as far as some of the multiplayer online games. But on the other hand, I'm actually a creative consultant for Heroes Rising, which is an online game. I write story for them. I do art for them. So, yes, I am connected to online gaming, but because I'm a developer in that game, I play it, but not like big time because they don't want the developers stomping the other players.
Yeah.
So I kind of sit back a little bit on that one. But, yeah, so I am connected to it, but indirectly.
Well, that's pretty good. The reason I ask is my girlfriend's kids, they're into this, I guess it's a board game called Magic. I'm not sure you're familiar with it. And what I'm saying is that, are you influenced of some of the new games that are out there that are, Chutes and Ladders, Witches and Warlocks, and any of these games influence you in your writing at all?
Not really. I like older games from, like I say older, 90s, one of the newest. yeah, I know. I'd have to say that yes, it kind of influenced some of my earlier, because I grew up loving stuff like, as I said, the Final Fantasy series, and I started on Mario Brothers, which is dating me a little there. and I don't pull a lot of story from Mario Brothers, so can't go there. Mm-hmm. But, actually, I will say this. When I was playing back in the late 90s, early 2000s of the Final Fantasy series and all that, I did actually really enjoy having a story. But even then, before I decided to really delve into being an author, I was going through the story and picking out the plot holes and going, well, that's not what I would do there, or maybe not that. Not that they did a terrible job. I mean, there's some fantastic games, and the stories are pretty good. Four video games, the stories are excellent. But they do contain some holes in there or some very head-scratching moments. And now, we are dealing with Japanese storytelling, which is a lot different than American storytelling. But it inspired me to go, well, how would I do that? And so I wrote story, I'm not correcting them. I'm doing my own thing, but I'm like, if I'm telling them it's wrong, how can I say that when I'm not right? So I'll write my own story.
Very good. Now, this is an honor. You actually had a book signing at a Comic-Con. That's quite an honor.
I've actually done 7 Comic-Cons so far.
Wow.
So, yep. Which they've been very interesting to do these book signings at Comic-Cons. I've done bookstores. I've done coffee shops. I've done little book fairs. And they're fun. And you honestly don't get a lot of traffic. People aren't – those things, they come if they know you. And I'm not that well-known, so people aren't walking up going, here, I have your book. I'm sitting there pitching like a carnival barker. So I go to Comic-Con instead – and these people are coming in because they love fantasy and science fiction and superheroes and that stuff.
Right.
So they're not coming in because of who's there when it comes to the authors. So they're there to meet new people. They're there for the celebrities who've been in movies and television. So
right.
That's been a blast, because this way, instead of trying one direction, which is sitting there waiting for someone who already knows me to walk up and want to check out my newest book or bring in their copy for me to sign, I'm sitting there meeting new people going, hey, who are you? What's this? And I can show them the book. And I don't even half the time have to really say much. I'm like, hi, I'm Daniel Payton. I write this stuff. Do you like, what kind of book do you like? And they'll name a specific genre. I'll say, here, I've got this. I'll take the book, hand it to them, turn it over, and say, just read the back. What do you think? And
wow.
I have developed actually a number of fans who are come back every time I have a book, online, whatever, who have followed me, who have really big fans because of that. So the Comic Cons were lucrative, but they're also really great because they're fun. These people are there to have fun. It's like being in a theme park. No one's there in a hurry to go grocery shopping 5 minutes later. They're there to spend the whole day walking around in a costume, just having fun. So you get to have fun. And then, of course, I position myself a lot of times, because at Comic Cons, the authors and the celebrities are really close because they're where you're doing your signings. So I get to sit next to Dean Cain or Lou Ferrigno or William Shatner, or, you know, I have sat and had long conversations with people I thought I'd never even meet in my life, because we're just sitting next to each other. We're there an hour before the guests. So
wow,
congratulations! Thank you.
But how, you know, people are listening right now and they have books and they want to go to Comic Con. Do you want to tell people, how did you do it? How long did you have to go on a waiting list when it came to your town? Did you have to present something? What is the move to even get in to Comic Con to hawk your wares, if you want to say it that way?
Which is perfectly fine. Actually, for most Comic Cons, if you're a new author and you're wanting to get into that to meet your audience, which is what I always tell, that's what you're doing, is meeting your audience, is you go in and you sign up for their artist tables. They're the most inexpensive tables there. They usually have their own little artist alley. You'll be sitting next to somebody who does wood carving, another person who's making homemade soap. I mean, this is truly just handmade soap. But it's fine, because you're there. You're meeting people, and a lot of these Comic-Con goers, they love the artist alley because it is unique stuff and homemade stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You don't look like you're trying to be pretentious. You know, you're not a new author who set up a four-square booth that's huge and got flags saying, look, best-selling author, or going to be. You know, you're just sitting there. That's where I started. That's where a lot of them started. Then you move up, and sometimes you start getting invited back. You know, Comic-Con says, oh, we have people mention you. You're the reason they want to come back this. Will you please come back next year? And so you get invited back. So it's a toe in the door situation. You don't walk up as a new author. This is the best piece of advice I can give you when it comes to ego. Do not go approach anything as a new author as though you're already a best-selling author, as though you're already, you know, in league with J.K. Rowling and Tolkien, all that, who you're just waiting for your next book to come out to enhance the world by your glory. No one knows you, and no one. You have to make them care, and so you have to approach it humbly, and that's what you do with these. You know, you come in saying, "Hey, I'm new. Check out my book." After a while, you'll be coming back as the returning author, and then further, you'll be returning as fill in the name. You know, now he is here, she is here. So it's a slow process. Don't rush it.
That's great. No, that's great advice. We're talking with Daniel Payton. And we're talking about his book, Legacy of Dragon Wand. WAND, I'm pronouncing it correctly, am I, Daniel?
Yep.
I want to ask you about your experience in writing. Do you enjoy it, or is it it's just a challenge each time you think about a book? Does it just flow, or do you really have to push yourself, get yourself in a place where you got to let your creativity to the universe come to you? How do you approach your writing, and what is your muse?
Well, the answer to that, all of those, is yes.
okay.
Writing is both a mountain to dominate and a ocean to sail. You start out, and when I'm writing, you know, and some authors different, everybody's different, but what I have found very commonly, and I'm definitely in that category, is that I look at a new book and have this wonderful idea of a story and the characters and this world, and I haven't written a word yet. So it's very frightening. I don't even want to do it. I'm sitting there going, that's going to take me forever. It's probably going to stink. I'm going to waste my time. But that side of me that looks at my shelf and goes, oh, look, there's all 12 books I've published so far. I can do this. And you don't have to have a shelf full of books to say you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to know that it's one word at a time. It's not a chapter at a time. It's not a book at a time. One word. So I get over that first initial, oh, my God, this is going to kill me, and I start writing. I develop characters.
Wow.
I create the world. But then you just start writing. Once you start writing, it starts to flow, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
The characters begin to take me on their journey, and I'm just following along to chronicle what happened. And the first draft stinks, but that's typical. And you just refine that, you work on it, you develop it. And then some of the fun parts of writing can be weird. And I tell authors this. I've told authors they don't believe me, but one of the best parts of writing is research. Because you'll find yourself researching things you never thought you would. I'm working on a series of short stories that are for the game, the Heroes Rising game I mentioned. And they haven't been published yet. This is for a special event coming up. And the whole series so far is going to be less than 20,000 words. To give you an idea, that's 1/8 the size of Dragonborn. So it's a real small, full story. In that time, set the story during the Ottoman Empire. I know next to nothing about the specifics in the Ottoman Empire, so I spent the past 2 weeks just researching people, places, names, battles, treaties, all this stuff. I know more about the Ottoman Empire now than I thought I'd ever need to. But it's been fun. I feel smarter, and my story feels better, because instead of me just kind of randomly throwing in fake facts about the Ottoman Empire, because I'm just going to use traditional Arabian images I watched in old movies. No. I actually research names. I research places. I now put in these. It makes me feel better about the writing. So that's fun. You know, it's a very three-dimensional experience writing a book. You're not just sitting down and plowing through a bunch of pages and then standing up and going, oh, look, I just finished a book. No, you're going to spend months working on this, researching it, editing it, hating it, loving it, reading it over and over again. You know, it's a process that can be both a headache and a joy.
Well, Daniel, you know, when you go into the science fiction area of YA fantasy, how challenging is it to come up with names that maybe people never heard of, or you spell it a little differently? Is that just as challenging to just the names itself?
Names have always been a challenge for authors, for fantasy and science fiction, anything speculative, because readers expect the names to be different. If Lord of the Rings had everybody named John and Bob and Smith, it would have been very head-scratching. We expected them to be named Frodo and Gandalf. But what I have found, and this is advice I do give to new authors of fantasy and science fiction, is I don't want the names to be tongue twisters. And I've seen a few authors, even big name authors, who write a story, and as you're reading, your entire reading mind hits a roadblock when the name is 20 characters long with apostrophes and commas, and you're like, I don't. Your brain is stumbling over how to process that. To me, for a reader, especially for young adults, because young adult readers read, you know, you can stumble them and they want to stop. I want the name to be lyrical or recognizable. As in the name for Marcus, I mean, that's Marcus. Marcus is a name today. I changed one letter in it to give it a flair. Howland or Tolan, these names they flow. And when you look at it, as I tell people, when any of my books, my sci-fi books, my fantasy books, my superhero stuff, anything I've written, the name is pronounced exactly as it is spelled. Because there is no spelling specialty in the world I've created. I haven't gone so far as to create my own language. I am not Tolkien. I did not create Elvish. This name is spelled with English letters, so you can pronounce it with your English tongue. So if it were translated into Spanish or another language, I'd work with the translator and go, okay, in this language, this is the way the name sounds. I want you to tell me in your language how to write that so it sounds that way. So the person pronouncing it will get it. That's my advice is be careful with names because they can stumble readers.
Right. I've read a couple of books where the lead character, like just what you said, is, but I'm not interested. I can't even pronounce his name. I mean, I didn't even read Rumpelstiltskin. I just called him Rooper. Done. Speaking, let's listen to your Audible sample. We are talking to the great author, Daniel Payton. That's P-E-Y-T-O-N, Legacy of Dragon Wand. Here's a sample right here. Right now it's on sale on Amazon. You can go to Amazon right now, put in Daniel's name, Daniel Payton, P-E-Y-T-O-N, and let's listen to the Audible sample. Here we go. I hope it's good. Get the popcorn, Alan.
Alan left the city of Fendor and rode alone, far into the countryside where the desolate mountains spread out. The mountains were dirty, barren, and considered as the Badlands by many. The only prestige the mountains held was in their history. It was across these mountains that the ancient wizards had waged a war over 1,000 years ago. Through battles and many terrible spells, the mountains were stripped of any use other than to keep the harsh winter winds of the north from besieging Fendor. To Halland, these mountains were home. He had lived and fought here many times during the war. He rode higher and higher into the mountains, cutting through narrow passes at which the horse hesitated. Halland had a destination in mind and a thin smile on his lips. Once he came to a sheer cliff that provided nothing but a dead end, he knew he was where he wanted to stop. He dismounted his horse and tethered her to a stump of a long dead tree that had made a futile attempt at growing there. He pulled out his wand and approached a stack of boulders that were much too heavy for any person to lift. "Vega!" he called out, and a blue glow surrounded the boulders, lifting them up as clouds into the air. Carefully, he stacked them around a newly revealed cave entrance. Once the blue glow was gone, he walked fearlessly onward. The cave was not carved by time, but by magic. The cavern was huge and constructed with many large crevices. Hundreds of boxes were scattered around the cave. Each held a person-sized object. As Halland walked into the cave, torches on the walls instantly ignited and provided light. This illuminated the multitude of objects spread around the room. Mirrors, swords, shields, a few skeletons, crystals, and other various magical items were all that remained of the Dark Wizard's relics after the war.
"Who goes there?"
a ghostly voice echoed throughout the cave. Halland rolled his eyes.
"Must we do this every time?"
"Announce yourself or be destroyed,"
the same voice said, threatening him. With a bored expression and unexcited voice, he replied,
"It is I, Halland. No one else is with me."
Suddenly, hundreds of ghostly people, made of a shadowy smoke that shimmered in red hues, rose up from the boxes. It was like a great fire had been lit, though the cavern was colder. A balding male ghost glared at Halland.
"Are you ready for us?"
"No."
Many of the ghosts began to speak, all angry with him. He raised his hands to get their attention.
"Silence!"
The voices slowly stopped, but the anger was still present in their faces.
"The plan is still on track. Once we obtain the dragon wand..."
The very mention of the word sent a wave of incensed growls and harsh words. Halland continued despite them.
"Once we obtain the dragon wand, I will have the power I require to complete the spell."
A woman, hovering near a box that leaned up against a wall, asked,
"What of the bodies? Will we have enough?"
Halland gave off a rather evil smile.
"Yes, I have thousands of perfect bodies awaiting you. Each is carrying the wizard gene, so you will be able to seize it without worry."
The first man to speak did not stop glaring at him.
"Your own spell will break soon. If you do not complete this mission, you will no longer be able to walk with the living. All our plans, our triumphant return, will be destroyed."
It never ceased to agitate Halland to listen to someone describe how he could possibly fail. He stepped up to the ghost hovering over his own coffin.
I will succeed. Tolan has died. And no one stands between the Dragon Wand and us. All that remains is locating the Dragon Citadel. Once the King's Guard finds the wand, all your concerns will be put to rest. Do not worry.
What of the King? Another man asked.
He suspects nothing.
Helen turned and walked around, a wicked smile playing delicately on his lips.
The King is a foolish, greedy human. The mere suggestion that I could make him more powerful only feeds the natural greed they all have. It has blinded him, just as I said it would.
Wow. Look at you. Wow. That's Daniel Payton's book, by Daniel Payton. The name of the book, again, it's... I gotta switch pages because now I'm into the Audible. Wait
Legacy.
A minute. Yeah, Legacy of Dragon Wand. I'm sorry, Ellen. What do you think of that? I love it.
I thought it was really good. Did you get caught up in that book, Brian?
You could, because in right now in California we got gray skies. You know, I like the rain and it's kind of cold, and I can actually see me. You know, after doing editing and all that kind of stuff, sometimes I'll shut my eyes. I can listen to this. I can enjoy it. Congratulations, Daniel. Well done. Well done,
Thank
Daniel.
You.
Good job. You made a decision to go Audible on it. Why? Why couldn't you just leave the book as a printed version? You got a great cover. Let it go. Why take the chance to go Audible?
Well, that was actually my publisher's choice. They wanted to do all of their books in audio. And I have found a number of people, particularly like truckers and all, who are turning to audiobooks to pass time, or this is how they enjoy reading. And so they've asked me before this was even produced as an audiobook, and it was already going to be. They would ask me, is this going to be audio? Is this going to be audio? And so it has sparked a real large audience there. Audiobooks have really grown and given legs to a format of reading that was kind of, you know, in the shadows for a long time. And I've discovered that. I honestly didn't realize audio was going to be so popular, but it's been enormously popular, and I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah, see, us jocks, you know, we don't read, but we love when people read stories to us. The little kid in us all the time. I wish we did read. No, I'm serious. I did read when I was a child, but as I got older, I never had time, Daniel. I never had time for this. But I did find time if I was waiting for someone, or if, like you said, traveling, or I'm riding in a car with someone, I'll go right to an audiobook, and you got a new fan. I think you did a great job. I love the story. So tell me, you know, your experiences doing, well, we went to the book signing. Did you have any bad experience at all during any of your book signings? I mean, not everything could go perfect.
Oh, you always have, it's interesting, it's how you react to a lot of stuff. I think the two most negative experiences, one, everybody experiences, and I learned this, and then I've had to tell other people. There's a lot of times you go to book signings, particularly just book signings, not Comic Cons, where nothing happens. People are walking right by you. It's like you're not there. And you feel like everybody doesn't like you or like your work, and that's not the case. You have to let go of your self-image there and just realize that the world moves on. You know, sometimes you just don't have the best day at these things and move on from it. So it's not a bad review. It just happens. But that has happened. It happens to every author. It definitely has happened to me. So that's just an overall bad experience. Personally, I usually, since I've focused more on Comic Cons, I usually have pretty positive experiences of these things. Off the top of my head, I can't think of any specific negative experience. I did the second Comic Con I did, I was in the Artist Alley at that time, and the person next to me, I'm doing my young adult fantasy, science fiction, all this stuff sitting there. Person right next to me, they're promoting their pagan books. They write witchcraft books. Mm-hmm. And they're they're very, it was very kind of unsettling. They were very obscure people. They were actually frightening some of the people that were at the Comic-Con. And, I mean, it wasn't the subject matter initially that was, like, in me. It was just, like, after a while, it was like, whoa, I kind of wanted to move my table over a bit. I couldn't, but I wanted to. And ultimately, they were nice people, but it was like, I don't think that was the right venue for them. And it really stuck out. And I was just like, wow. I've had the funniest experience at these Comic Cons. One of the stories I like to relate was I actually made it onto the news and all around Knoxville because I was the guy who mistook Gene Simmons of Kiss for a cosplayer. Yeah. Before Comic Con or during Comic Con, my booth had died down. I wasn't that busy at the moment, and I wanted to go over and see another celebrity. These celebrities are all lined up. When they come to these Comic Cons, if you haven't been to one, a lot of people come dressed as them. They come dressed as, if you have Lou Ferrigno, you're going to see 5 million Hulks. I mean, it's just going to be there. Well, a lot of people dress as Gene Simmons. Well, Gene Simmons is not a character per se. He looks like himself. So you have people dressed as him. And so I got up to go see somebody else, and Gene Simmons apparently shops for comic books at these things. He'll just leave his booth when it's his debt to him, and he'll go out with his small entourage and just thumb through comic books. I didn't know that. They didn't know that. There wasn't a crowd of people around him yet. I walk by, stop. He just kind of smiles at me. I look at him and say, nice costume, and walk right on. 10 minutes later, I'm at my booth. At this point, I'm signing autographs, and this guy from a radio station there comes up and goes, are you Daniel Payton? And I'm like, woo, because this is early for my career. I'm like, yes, okay, get an interview. Yes, I'm Daniel Payton, author of, were you the one who mistook Gene Simmons as a cosplayer? I'm like, I did what now? And I've heard about it the whole convention. So I've had some crazy experiences. Yeah.
Wow.
But these people are great. You know, the celebrities are the best part.
You're in good company, though. You're in great company once you get into Comic-Con. Do you want to give a shout-out to your publisher if they're listening and they want to, you know, sometimes they need a little ass-kissing?
That's okay. I know my publisher quite well. It's Cosby Media Productions out of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Braxton Cosby's the head of that, and I hope he's listening. We're he's got quite a few authors who started out pretty small, and we're working on getting bigger. And they actually just informed me yesterday that starting tomorrow, for I believe 2 days, The Legacy of Dragon Wand Book 1 will be free on Amazon as an ebook.
Wow.
So if you want to start the series, anybody who's listening, if you want to start it and you want to pick it up tomorrow, if you've got an ebook or you got a Kindle app, anything like that, go on Amazon. You can get the first book free. Books 2 and 3 will be highly discounted. So if you want to get the whole series, it's going to be a lot cheaper. And in this time, we all need to escape from our homes. It's a great way to do so through a book.
That is true. That is true. It's an awesome book. Your narration is great. And I do like how you put it together, the story and the names. I'm not a sci-fi fan, but I'm beginning to be one because I'm playing these games. These gamers are getting me into being, you know, fantasy. What is it? Oh, God, everybody's playing it. You just mentioned it. My girlfriend's playing it and everything. Fantasy, online, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Final Fantasy. I'm sorry, Final Fantasy. She just
I remember when people were going crazy for the Final Fantasy series. We had a line at Walmart for people wanting Final Fantasy IV when it was first coming out and everything.
Yeah. Oh, Ellen, they're still just as popular as it is now. I mean, they got a new audience that's hooked. Now, Daniel, what are you going to do with all this celebrity? Now, you got Audible. This is the first book of trilogy. Are you starting to write the second book right now? Are you going to take a break? You went through all your tours. What are you going to do now?
Actually, books 1, 2, and 3 are currently out. The whole trilogy has been published. It's just book one is going to be free, but two and three are discounted. Plus, in March, the very beginning of March, book four got published.
That's right. This book series was so
popular that I had people asking for more because I planned on it being beginning, middle, end. It's going to be a story, characters, done, happily ever after. Well, I had such a response of people going, we want more. Authors are entertainers. You ask for more, I give you more. So I wrote book four, and then after I finished writing book four before it was published, I dove into and wrote books five, six, and seven. So I wrote another trilogy that follows the story. So there's actually seven books in the series, all written, but book four just got published. So the journey continues. And
now that you're a publisher, author, it does continue. You sound very intelligent and creative. In high school, what kind of kid were you? Were you what kind of crowd did you hang around? The popular crowd, the nerdy crowd, just you by yourself? And with your friends in your head.
I hung around the gamer crowd, you might say. We played the card games, and we played, we were the nerds, but not the computer nerds. We had some smart people there. My friends were more interested in Dungeons and Dragons and all, which I never actually got to play. But we would, we go to the game stores and we talked up that kind of stuff, and so that's kind of where I landed. And I also I was awkward as a school kid. No big surprise. I was older than the rest of my crowd, and because I started school late due to some issues where I was born, how I got to school. So I was older. I actually spent half of my school time at college because my mom was going to college and I go to her classes. And there were times I actually could pass the tests in her classes. So, and she was art history, so I understood history and art and all that. So I was kind of unusual, big surprise. And so I attracted an unusual crowd, which was great because there were a lot of people that I made friends with that otherwise didn't make friends. So I reached out to that. So my goal in school was to not let somebody feel alone. And my school life growing up, I was in Oklahoma, and my hometown was a college town. And so a lot of kids who came to our school were only there for a couple of years because their parents were coming to Oklahoma State University to finish their doctorate. So they'd be from Japan, Nigeria, India, China, all over the place, and they would know a little English. They'd be very uncomfortable, and so I actually helped them feel more comfortable by learning a little about how they spoke, what they needed. Let them not feel like they were a complete alien and with no one who wanted to be around them. So I had a very mixed-matched crowd of friends, and I think that helped me in the future because I got to really study and learn about different characters, how people react differently. So I definitely filtered some of that in my stories.
Right. And translation, you didn't get laid until your 20s.
We'll not discuss that subject.
Daniel. No, it's funny. It's okay. It's okay. Because we need a creative people like you. It builds up the Dragon Wand. All right, here we go. The name of the book is Daniel Payton is the author. Legacy of Dragon Wand, and he mentioned his other book, which is it's a trilogy, and you got in the green cover is Legacy of Dragon Wand, a Wizards and Beast Dragon series, and then you have the Legacy of Dragon Wand, of course, a trilogy book two. You are an accomplished author here, Daniel. Legacy of the Dragon Wand, a Wizards and Beast Dragon series book four, and the Chronicles. And I got a feeling we're going to get some excellent, excellent writing from you. I see a movie in your future, I guarantee you. I mean, I like your writing, I like your style. Daniel, this is where I give you like 30 seconds or a minute to promote your book, market your book. If there's something we didn't touch on as far as your talking points, please go ahead and elaborate on them. And it's all yours, Daniel. Take it away.
Thank you. Yeah, the Legacy of Dragon Wand series is definitely for any and all readers. I have had a lot of fans that come from the age of, I have one who's 8 who just love my books, and I have a lot of fans who are in their 50s and 60s. So age is no requirement here. I also, as I've said before, have more books in this series coming out. So once you get started, you've got quite the world to live in. Plus, outside of this, I have Earth Last Starship is my science fiction book that was published last year. Remnant was also, it's also science fiction. It was published last year. I have The Winter Wizard Chronicles. It's a little more grown up than the Dragon Wand when it comes to the age and the fantasy for that one. And I have the Bark Superhero series, which is a trilogy episodic adventure for young adults. And I have more books on the way coming out. So keep watching. If you want to find me on Facebook and author Daniel Payden and my professional page, I love to answer questions, meet new people. I post artwork and books. I do art as well. And I love to interact with my fans. And I'm not as present on Twitter. I do some on Instagram, but Facebook really is my platform for if you want to interact with me. Please come on over, check it out, share my work, pick it up. And most importantly, for authors out there, we need your reviews. If you read any of our books that you enjoyed, even if you didn't enjoy it, if you want to give an honest, good review or a review of the books, please do, because they help the authors in the long run, and we need them put onto Amazon, Goodreads, Barnes & Noble, anywhere else that you can review the book, and check it all out. All my books from Cosby Media are on Audible, except for the newest one, which is on its way. And I'm also with Ambassador International Publishing, and my books through them, Remnant, will be on Audible as well. So all the books out there, ebook, print book, most of them audio. Check them all out, and I hope you enjoy it.
Well done, Daniel. You are very polished. You know what to do. I mean, you've been at this for a while, I could tell. Let me ask you a question. What is harder? What do you suggest? Some people write a book and they said, okay, I'll just promote it on social media, but they don't go out, you know, they don't get themselves out there. Do you think that's successful of not really reaching out? Like, see, you're at Comic-Con and you're doing book tours and signings and things like this. You're out there. How important is it to actually get out there too to meet your fans and to participate in book signings and get into places like Comic-Con versus just sitting home and just, you know, on social media promoting your book online?
It's a two-edged sword. Social media used to be the go-to publicity place. Everybody could share it. Now it's kind of an echo chamber. You got a lot of authors sharing stuff to each other because algorithms just pick it up and sell it to people who are also using that. So
right. For
online presence should be to generate fans. Go on to create pages on all the social medias you want to and post stuff that's related to the genre you're writing about. Attract people to you and then talk to them. Promote your work through your page, not just randomly online. But meeting them in person is very important. The thing is, when you're meeting people, you're meeting a cross-section in one area. If I go from Gen Con to a little Comic-Con here in Port Huron, Michigan, you're going to find different people who've never met you there and may never see you again if you've only done the one and only ever do the one. So it's a two-edged thing. You want to meet people, but online you get to meet everybody, but you need to know how to meet them. You need to make yourself interesting, not just create a page and then spend every post shouting, here's my work, here's my work, here's my work.
Right.
Don't do that. You want to make it look like you enjoy the genre you're writing about, which you should, and let them come to you. And now for online, there's a lot of great courses and classes on teaching how to advertise online. You need to do that, which requires money. And yes, you put it out there. And new authors, I will tell you this right now, you never pay to publish your book. If you have a publisher that's legitimate, they don't ask for money, they make you money. But new authors, that publisher is not going to shell out millions of dollars to help promote your book because you're new and they don't know how to take a risk on you. You have to promote your book. You need to go on Amazon and do Amazon ads, BookBub. You need to go to Kirkus. You need to go to Facebook, do Facebook ads, anything like that. And there's a lot of learning curve there. Learn it. If you don't learn it, you're going to lose money and you're not going to sell books. So it's not an easy course. Marketing is hard for book publishing, but you have to get a lot of good information. But the best place to get information is go on to Facebook, join author groups, a lot of other authors. Don't sit there and promote your book. Sit there and ask questions. How do I do this? How do I do that? Because they'll answer them. These people have been through the same stumbling problems before. They'd rather you not fall on your face. They wouldn't help you. Authors are not in this against each other. We're in this together. There's way more readers and desire for books than there are authors producing. You are not in competition. We all work together.
Very good. Very good, Daniel. I'm impressed. Want to say hello to a couple of people in the studio here for you? Since you like talking to new people. Here's Charisse. Charisse is also an author. I see you, Xavier, that strong, beautiful voice of yours. I'm going to come right to you. Charisse is right here. She's an author. She has written many books. She's also our next talent and our celebrity chef that's coming on air after you. I'm going to ask her if she has any questions that she would like to ask you. Here you go, Charisse. Meet Daniel.
Good morning.
Hello.
Daniel.
Good morning.
I enjoyed hearing the narration. It was very good. I don't know who that was, but they were very good.
Thank you. I honestly am not sure who they are. My publisher hires these people, and they're out of Atlanta, I think, so I'm not actually there. They do it.
Wow.
And your publisher is very good at getting you out there and teaching you exactly what you need to know, so...
Mm-hmm.
Keep on striving,
mm-hmm.
because listening to you, you definitely know what you're doing. And congratulations.
Thank you, Charisse. Wow.
Thank you.
She gave you a lot of praise. She really doesn't give people praise. It hurts her stomach when she does that. So she must have been really impressed by you.
Oh.
Nice
no.
job.
Praise.
She? No. She recognizes another professional. Well done. This is Talk to Talk. I'm sure she's going to be your fan. Tata Tom, do you have anything to say to Daniel? And what do you think of the synopsis of the book?
Hi, Daniel. I don't know. I just listened very intently to the story and your life story, too. They're both very interesting. And, I'm kind of anti-war. I'm kind of squeamish about war, so I'm not sure I will want to read anything about war. That's just me, you know, my personal preference, but you seem like a very interesting person, though, and it must still be a very, like, twisted and intricate, like, you know, exciting plot, though, that people enjoy your book so much.
Thank you. I have a mother who's not that big on war stuff either, so she doesn't quite get into all the battle in the story, but I can respect that.
But is it really war if you have wizards and other entities and spiritualness and magic? Isn't it? Doesn't it stretch our imagination, Tata? Doesn't, you know, these are... spiritual creatures at odds, and that's how life is, and I'm sure in the spiritual world when we have good and evil. But isn't it fun and entertaining?
Well, two things that kind of stood out that I don't want to read about is war 1,000 years ago and also like wizards about to be killed. That's kind of dark, but it's just me, you know. I guess I'm different
mm-hmm.
from everyone else.
No, you're not. You are like all of us, and we just have different tastes. I mean, you're not that different. But I think it's a great story. I know you're going to be a fan. I guarantee you will be a fan. But thank you, Tata Ta. No, thank you very much. And, of course, you mentioned witches. See, Daniel, sometimes you just don't know who you're. Yeah. Well, you know, Daniel, sometimes you just don't know what you say and who's in the studio. I want to introduce you to a witch's best friend, Diana. Hello, Diana.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Daniel.
Hi.
Don't worry. Witches don't hate. We don't get offended. We know.
As I said, it wasn't who they were. They were just kind of making people feel uneasy.
he got some of those that back in the 90s, you know, teenagers in the 90s, we referred to those as emo witches. Do not ever confuse an emo with a goth. We will hex you for that. I think he got a hold of one of those depressed emo witches.
No, actually, I've known emo witches. I've known goth ones, but these were mountain folk hillbilly witches.
Oh my lord!
Okay.
I'm gonna flip from crystals to praying to Jesus right now.
They were very unusual. And thing is that, again, nice people, but it was kind of their approach. It was a little just off-putting. But that was them. I've had some very unusual experiences at these places.
Wow. That's funny. As soon as you mentioned witches and everything, I know I was laughing and Diana was laughing because she goes off. I'm thinking in my head, take it easy on the witches. Let's move on. Then you kept going. Well, they were strange. I go, no.
The witches asked for a link to the podcast once it's uploaded today. So I have a podcast link duty.
Well, bless their hearts. Those little witches. They're good witches, Daniel. They're good witches with crystals and stuff. And let's see, and last, we go with Xavier. Now, Xavier is a celebrity himself. Once you hear his voice, you probably recognize him. Xavier, did you just come in and say hello, or did you have a question regarding the book?
Oh, well, can you hear me okay, by the way?
Huh?
Can you hear me okay, by the way? Just make sure.
No.
Someone's cleaning their toilet.
No, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Which
I can hear you.
Can you hear all that background noise? Is that me? I know
yes.
It's my toilet. Okay.
I know.
I'm making coffee.
She's making
gotcha.
Coffee.
Thanks so
you,
much.
You, know, you
guys.
Just upset
Thank
a witch.
You for the clarification.
You just upset
You're very
witch.
Welcome.
Who's
wow,
that witch in the toilet?
I
know.
Coffee was going to be my 14th guest.
I know.
So appreciate that.
Oh, not for this author. I live off of it. It's my life essence.
Amazing. Well, would you mind making coffee in Idaho?
Okay. I'm going. You don't go away, Diana. Don't go away. Don't go away. I'm going to let you make your coffee. Where did she go? Did she leave? You just scared her away. Oh, no. Okay, hold on right there. I'm going to let you make your coffee in peace. Just a second. Don't leave. Okay, there you go. There you go, Xavier. We can hear that.
Well, I just wanted to say hi to everyone here at the Brian the Hammer Jackson show and say to Daniel Payton that I really appreciate what he talked about today, quite a range of things that I think not only applies to writers but also actors and voice actors. I run a company and we voice all kinds of things in addition to books, and so it was very interesting to hear you narrate your work. And yet it's interesting as a writer and as an actor where they're not seeing you. It's a challenge to promote yourself, and how do you create positive visibility for yourself in a way that's tasteful and confident, you know? So I really appreciated you sharing that that nuance, and it's very interesting. I will say and share that there's an interesting difference between narrating for a TV show and an audio book, because you're really a storyteller with an audio book.
Right.
It's not for the faint of heart. How long was that book that Daniel had, that first title, that excerpt that he put so what was the total length of that?
Was it 51 minutes, Daniel? Was it 51 minutes? Your audible.
I honestly don't set my head now.
Let me see. I think I had it. One second. It wasn't really that long. I will find it for you. I just want to make sure I get it correct. I think it was like 51 minutes. I'm not quite sure, but it was pretty good audible. I'll get that to you because I had it.
I only ask, it seems like the longer you're narrating, at times, depending on the material, can be much more challenging. Really, it's like thinking, well, how to keep an audience engaged for hours at a time. I also train narrators, and I try to help them realize that, you know, you this person has to sort of live with your voice for sometimes 10, 12, 14, 20 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that in mind. Fascinating
art form.
I definitely wanted to say.
It is. Hey, Xavier, are you going to be around? Because we're going to go right now, and we're going to have our cooking show in about 5 minutes. And then after the cookie show, I want to talk to you about what's going on in your life, because I know there's some kind of things you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks so much. All right.
So in 5 minutes we're going to do, you'll see, you know, my page. You'll see that we're doing the cooking show with Charisse. And then we're going to have a long talk since it's Friday. I want to find out what's going on with you, things in Hollywood, some casting problems you went through I can relate to. You know, sometimes people want to give us, you know, they look at our booty and they think it's dessert, how we have to fight them off. We'll be talking about these things. True.
Really, our cooking show is segment.
Okay. I know. Okay. Xavier knows what I'm talking about, right, Xavier? We had these problems.
Well, in Hollywood, we've always got to keep the cooking, and hopefully not on the grill.
I'll see you in another 5 minutes. Thank you, Xavier.
Agree with me, and so is Diana. You two have a problem.
Yeah, we do. We do. And by the way, we're not getting off. Poor Daniel's being patient. I thought this was my interview. Don't worry, Daniel, and editing is going to look perfect. But I do want to make sure when we have a lot of people in the studio and they want to talk to you and they want to open up the phone so they can do things, I do want to mention that Daniel, we're talking to Daniel Payton, and the name of, and you should get his series. It's a Legacy of Dragon Wand, WAND. It's out now on Amazon, the Audible. You heard a sample of the Audible. It's great. Wow, Daniel, is that you? Is that you in the hood and the cape? You got long, long.
Yeah,
look at you. You look like some kind of a wizard there. That's a nice looking guy.
I was actually dressing up like that to take pictures so I could – I used that as a painting reference when I did the cover for the Winter Wizard book. So that's the Winter Wizard outfit.
Very nice, Daniel. Well, he looks like – okay, let me describe him. Liam Hemsworth kind of looking guy, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of looks like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I wish.
You do. more Daniel's books. Get Daniel's books. I mean, he's a great author. And I mean, what a good sport for coming on this kind of show. And as you can tell, he's very talented. Daniel, I'm going to send you away in the spiritual world, and hopefully you'll come back. And again, your social media, how people can reach you, Daniel.
You find me on Facebook, the Daniel Payton Author. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Payton, Author Dan Payton. Instagram, same thing. I'm all over social medias, but Facebook is my preferred way because I can really interact with people real well with that place, with Facebook.
And when somebody reads your book for the first time, Daniel, what do you want them to experience? I mean, what do you really want them to feel? And what the author is trying to tell them?
For my book, primarily I want people to be entertained. I want them to feel lost in the world and on the adventure with Marcus. I want them to taste the food, feel the fright, feel the joy, fall in love. You know, I want them there. That's my objective. The outcome might be a moral lesson. The outcome might be something. But in the beginning and end of it all, my writing is to entertain. And that's what I hope to do.
And that's what you accomplished, especially by that sample audio. Well done. Or Audible. I got to keep saying it because that's Amazon's thing. Daniel Payton, everyone. Thank you, Daniel. Best safe journey. Come back anytime at all. Thank you so much for coming in. Daniel Payton, the name of the book. You're welcome. Again, the name of the book. Get the book. Legacy of Dragon Ball. And when we come back, we're going to say goodbye to everybody because we have another show and set up Charisse's show. Support your authors. Support your indie authors. Go to Comic-Con and be nice to someone at a table that you don't know. It could be a witch. Just be nice to everyone. And we'll be right back to say goodbye to everyone. All right, here we go.
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Ow, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it. So this bud's for you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
And we are back. You're listening to the Hammer Radio Network, Hammer 96.7 BT Radio, Los Angeles. I am executive producer Ellen Johnson, live from Metairie, Louisiana. And take it away, Brian. Ah, yes. And like Brian said, we are going to be doing our cooking show with Charisse Kateri Cox. And if you'd like to join us, all you have to do is call back in 319-527-6099.
No, no, no. You are so busted. You are so busted. You are so busted. Please read what I typed for you until you said, welcome back, Brian. Go ahead. Well, I want to make sure people know that you're busted. Read what's in the studio, please.
I didn't read what you said there. You said to say goodbye.
I know, but no, read what I wrote.
Yeah, I said, after commercial, say goodbye for me and show and tell them the cooking show is next.
And you did not do it. You go, you came back after commercial. So here's Brian. I'm going, what?
Well,
what?
Okay.
Thank you, Daniel. Oh, my God. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, everybody, for coming in. Our cooking show is next. Daniel Payton, everybody. This guy is amazing. And thank you, Diana, the witch's best friend and a warlock's love. Don't forget, Diana's book, Nightmares and Prozac Dreams. I just finished Achievement by Possession, the Audible. Amazing. Both on Amazon. Diana Brock, B-R-O-C-K. It rhymes with, never mind. Nightmares and Prozac Dreams. What?
That's not something you came on the show to promote.
Yeah, but we have more time in the cooking section because the cooking section, that's when we do our regular show after cooking. That's what we do.
You know what?
Because Diana,
yes,
Diana, you're going to go through our cooking segment so we can talk about, you know, then we have everybody all in after the cooking segment, right? Because I'm gonna tell you what I thought about the Achievement by Possession. I'm going to be a bit brutally honest about this book. I had to put it down, and I'll tell you why I had to put it down. So I'm not going to give that away, but I'll tell you that right after a cooking section segment. I will give it an A+, though. I'll spoil it. I'm going to give you an A+. It was really great.
That is awesome. Unfortunately, I cannot continue to hang around much longer. I have things I have to go take care of today.
Oh, did I say
A+,
really?
We'll be able to hang on.
Oh, I misspoke. But that C book really was, oh, I'm only kidding. Really quickly, Diana, A+, tell us about your book, Nightmare Prozac Dreams, 30 seconds, go.
Well, Nightmares and Prozac Dreams is a collection of short stories and one-on-one accounts of paranormal experiences of my own. And you can get it on Amazon in Kindle and paperback format or on Audible in audiobook format. You can also get all of my books at my website, www.abernathybooks.com.
Achievement by Possession, 30 seconds.
In Achievement by Possession, we follow the story of small-town girl Karen Fortenberry as she plans for her wedding day. Unbeknownst to her, her fiancé is slowly becoming possessed by a demon through the pages of the books, and he intends to use her as a sacrifice to achieve his own selfish goals.
There you go. The beautiful Diana Brock. And she's not a witch. Diana's an author. Her, just her BF, would we call it BFW, best friend witch? She's my BFW? I don't know. But thank you, Diana. Thank you for coming in. Safe journey. You're always welcome into the
studio.
Thank
you, Brian.
I miss you when you're not here. Have a great weekend. If you ever need me, just type Ellen.
Will do.
I'll be there. You can type me too. I'll be there.
Okay.
Give a big hug to the husband and the kids. Bye, Diana. Bye, everybody. You have. We'll see you guys in about 5 minutes. The cooking show is coming up with the great. She's a wizard in the kitchen anyway. Charisse Kateri Cox. Today we're cooking stuffed cabbage and baby
short
back ribs.
Cabbage.
Short ribs. Huh.
Short ribs, cabbage.
There you go. All right. So, ta-ta-ta, I'm going to see you in a little bit. Daniel, thank you so much, my friend. Charisse, I'll see you. Xavier, we're going to come in about 5 minutes, and we'll talk about, you know, in 5 minutes we have another show, and then we'll talk about the casting and entertainment world. And see you guys later. Bye. I'm running so late, and I feel so bad. I hope Charisse forgives me. We'll see you in 2 minutes.